This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And now it happened. We are live here on Pet Life Radio. Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff, as well as here on Instagram Live, here for you, here for your pets. So anything you want to talk about, of course, we're going to talk about 4th of July and pet safety. And for those you want to, now, Riot, it says you want to be in my live video. If that's true, then let me know. A lot of times people hit that accidentally, and then I go and say, okay, and I invite you in, and you're not there. So if this is real, if that was meant to be, then yes, I will let you in. So anyway, prepare for your questions. Couple of things. Hola, hello, OC Neil. So I had a tough couple of cases the last couple of weeks. One was the cystotomy on the, which is a bladder surgery, on the, she does want to be in my live video. So hold on a second. We're going to invite you in just seconds. Don't go away. So one was the giant schnauzer, 2-year-old, that had these, 30 bladder stones. What was it, crazy? And online, I posted them. It was a tremendous picture. Anyway, dog is doing great. The second one is Prince. Prince was the yellow lab. Is the yellow lab who he ate a stuffed little bear toy that his dad bought him, thinking, well, how cute for the dog to play with. Yeah, it was so cute to play with. He ate it. And now, mind you, this is a dog that already had intestinal surgery to remove, I think it was either a sock or a towel or something of his GI tract. And of all things to give him, a little toy this big, oh my God, he was swallowed in 2 seconds. So anyway, that was also interesting. So I'm going to review this request. I'm going to accept, two of them. So anyway, they are both doing great, which I'm thrilled. In fact, Tipper, who is the giant schnauzer, literally lives 2 doors down from me. And so they have this beautiful balcony on the second floor. And so, which Blast? Can you talk about Blast? A bloat. Okay. That makes sense. Blast, we're going to talk about. That comes 4th of July. But bloat. So yes, we'll talk about bloat. That's a good one. So anyway, so he sits down on his balcony and he barks at everybody going by. Hello, hey Steph. He barks at everybody going by. And we have this whole thing going on, and I can go out on my front porch and say, Tipper, Tipper. And he is standing. I'm afraid that he was going to want to jump off the second floor balcony. So I got to be really careful, but he is really, really cute. So anyway, let's talk about bloat. So basically, bloat is a condition that we see mostly in large breed, deep-chested dogs. All right. And this goes along with it. Is it okay for dogs to drink water during outdoor play? This all kind of sort of comes together when we talk about bloat. Great question. Thank you. And that is this, that dogs, the large breed, deep-chested dogs, basically, they have a pendulous stomach. Okay. That means it's swinging, rocking back and forth. It's attached, but the attachments aren't great. So what happens is they will eat or drink, and sometimes we don't even know exactly why it happens. Sometimes they can lie on one side and roll over to the other side. And if there's a lot of water or ingesta in the stomach, anything that's weighing that stomach down, think about it. The body is moving, but the stomach is weighed down, so it doesn't move. It stays where it is. And in essence, the body rolls over the stomach. Or in essence, then it's almost as if the body was stable and the stomach is rolling over its own axis. And it blocks off both ends. It blocks off the esophageal end and the duodenal end and basically yanks it tight. So now what happens is you have stomach gas, you have bacteria producing gas, right? There's fluid building up and there's no place for it to go. They can't vomit it up or burp it up. They can't, it doesn't get through, right? At the pylorus, which is the part of the stomach, leaving the stomach, going into the small intestine. So what happens is it causes bloat. The stomach gets bigger and bigger and bigger. They try to vomit and they can't. And you'll notice if you have such a large breed, deep chested dog, you will notice their abdomen getting bloated, thus bloat. And they're dry heaving. They're continually going, nothing's coming out, because it can't. It is a very, very dangerous condition. It is an emergency. And when I get calls on air vet, and with that history, you know, usually it's a large breed. Standard poodles, for example, can get this. Great Danes are notorious for it. Bernese Mountain Dogs, Newfies, all these large dogs that have a tendency to run around. So now let's get to the question about drinking water during outdoor play. So what happens is when they are outdoor, they will not drink necessarily just a small amount of water that's going to satisfy them. No way. What they're going to do is they're going to drink way too much. Now that stomach, that muscular sac, is sitting there very heavy. Then the dog is running around, changing, turning, you know, lying down, getting up, rolling over, whatever. And then that stomach sits there and that it yanks, it causes bloat. And the only way to fix it is surgery and emergency surgery. It is really dangerous. I've seen stomachs rupture. If it happens in the middle of the night and you're sleeping, you're going to wake up very possibly to a dead dog. It is when you see it. It's funny. I talk about this a lot. We were out at a cousin's house in New York, and we were going to be leaving that day. It was a Sunday, and there are two gorgeous yellow Labradors, and one of them was ran to the backyard trying to heave, and I'm watching him. Every time we went outside, I'm watching him, and I'm noticing his stomach getting bigger. And I said, guys, this is, but we got to take him to a vet right away. So it was a Sunday morning, took him to the vet. Fortunately, they were open. And long story, I said that we don't have a doctor that can do surgery. He said, I'll do the surgery. But I'm there's some legal issues, I guess, because I'm not licensed in New York, whatever. So they called in the veterinarian, but because it was an emergency. And the vet that does the surgeries for them actually came in, did the surgery, and literally saved his life. When we go in to the surgery and to do this bloat surgery, we derotate. It's really dangerous. Sometimes you see part of the stomach already black because of lack of blood supply. It locked off the blood supply. Then you have to do a procedure to remove that dead part of the stomach. A lot of times the spleen is either going to rupture or they automatically take off the spleen as well. And we have to do what's called a gastropexy, which is we then attach the stomach to the body wall to prevent it happening in the future. And it's a major, major surgery. Ellen Burke, good morning, Doc. I have a question. I gave my dog Brevecto, took it. 3 hours later, he threw up. It's a good question. If 3 hours, I would say you're probably okay. Now, Brevecto is good for 12 weeks. Might you want to maybe follow up in 8 weeks? By the way, everyone says, 12 weeks, that's for fleas. There are certain ticks, especially if you're in a tick-laden area, that Brevecto is only good for 8 weeks. So it's not terrible if you have to. Is just go ahead and give the Brevecto at 8 weeks later, 2 months, just to be safe. Now, if you start seeing a lot of fleas after a month, it's okay. You can give a second one then too. But I would say after 3 hours, I would expect 8 weeks should be okay. At least 8 weeks would be okay. And again, if you gave it with food, maybe next time give it without food. If you gave it without food, give it with food. Any medication that's given to an animal could cause vomiting. So, for example, one of my favorite antibiotics is called Clavamox, is the equivalent of human Augmentin, also in many cases can cause vomiting. So, it is what it is. It's a really great antibiotic. It's the antibiotic we use most for dog bites or any kind of infection, skin infection that is a little deeper, whereas Simplicef, which is the ceftriaxone, which is one of the cephalosporin antibiotics, which are great for skin, they may not be, if you have a deep infection, that's why for bite wounds or deep punctures, I like the Augmentin better than the cephalosporins. Okay, next. So we got a number of you here now. So let's talk a little bit about 4th of July. So first of all, by show of hands, you can chime back in. I want to know how many of you have pets that seem to freak out during 4th of July. And I know some of you out there are cat parents, and do your cats freak out at all during 4th of July? I don't think are bothered that much about it. I have 4 cats. They could care less. Now, I have 5 dogs. And luckily for me, they could care less as well. So I don't know exactly what it is, but we do have some solutions. And we have short-term solutions And we also have long-term solutions. Long-term solutions, too late to start now. So just gear up for next year, maybe. But short-term, here's what we recommend. First of all, let me know if, I'm just curious how many of you have dogs that are very, very sensitive to loud sounds, to blast, to thunder and lightning. It's usually the same thing, by the way. Thunder and lightning, if there's some construction going on next door, things like that, that could cause a lot of anxiety and fear in these dogs. It's that fear of the very loud sounds. What is the association? I don't know. Now, one thing I will tell you, that if a dog, just so you know, a lot of times we have created this anxiety, this fear. And we've done it not intentionally, but it's unintentional. And it's because what happens? The classic example is a dog starts showing some fear response to these loud sounds. And they want to hide. They want to go under furniture. They might want to run up to you. So what do we, what's our natural inclination, our national pet parent instinct when it comes to any of our animals showing some fear behavior? What do? Just like with a kid. We coddle them. Oh, you poor girl, you poor boy. Come here. Come to dad. Come to mom. Oh, it's okay. It's okay, right? So what have we just done? Wait, inadvertently, we have just basically praised them. We reinforce that behavior through praise and comfort. So now, what does the dog learn? Oh my God, this is great. Every time I hear this, I run to mom, I run to dad, I get these hugs, I get these kisses, I get a treat. Life is wonderful. Life is grand. So what do we see? We see dogs that when it comes to 4th of July, they are now have this prior experience that, wow, this is great. I don't really care about the sound that much. But you know what? I love the fact that when I show fear, I'm getting all these hugs and kisses and I'm getting a treat. So the goal is for now, if you do have a dog that's actually in fear, we want to put them in their own quiet room, maybe with windows closed, maybe get some nice music. Interestingly, a lot of dogs respond well to classical music. I'm not a huge fan, but your dogs may be. And so you want to play some soft classical music, maybe put the TV on and put the TV on with some, you know, maybe some kind of show that might be a little like a cartoons or something, something that may be a lot of noise and a lot of images that they can, you know, follow. And that will distract them. And you try to drown out the sound of the fireworks through the music or the TV. So that is a possibility. And give them their food, give them a little treat, give them something to play with. So basically let them sort of be find relaxation and to stop them from the fear by putting them in their own safe, quiet room. What you don't want to do is leave them outside by themselves. They will hop a fence. Sometimes they get so fearful, it's amazing what they do destruction-wise, and they will get escape. And if they do, they are going to freak, and they're going to run. They're going to possibly get hit by a car. It is very dangerous. So you do not put them outside, even in what you think is a secured fenced yard. Is keep them inside, windows closed, music going, maybe the TV on, and that's the best way to keep them quiet. And as far as longer term, we'll talk about that in a minute. You got to come back. We are halfway through our show. Boy, it goes fast. And so far, no one's asked me about my forehead. So I have to, and you're thinking, what is going on his forehead? Well, I will say briefly, I'll give you the details. I lost a battle to a cage at my hospital. So what does that mean? So I'll tell you when we come back after these short messages. Don't go away.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat. At givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, we're back. So I've heard from some of you already. He runs runs his house every time he hears a loud noise. You see, all right. And let's see, Terry, our cattle dog does not care. The Australian freaks out. Shepherd freaks out. That's unusual. Also, here's what we want to do conceptually. Now, it might take a little bit. You see, rain is another one. And let me tell you something fascinating about dogs. Okay, if you're anyone into weather, there is something that happens prior to a rainstorm. And usually with rain comes power and lightning. We're going to talk about the 4th of July. So that's coming up, Keith. So anyway, and that is that the, so they have a sense about being able to feel the changes in barometric pressure. So what happens? And when it first happens, they don't know what it means. They just know it. And then what happens a day or two later? The rain and the thunder and lightning. And that starts freaking them out. So I get calls from people. I've already heard on the news, all right, or the weather report that we have a big storm coming. And people are calling me saying, my dog is acting really weird, shivering, hiding. And I know, you know why? They can sense that change in barometric pressure. They are already pre-reacting to the upcoming rain and thunderstorm. And that's what freaks them out. So they're making that association as soon as they feel that change in barometric pressure, which is why a lot of times they know your dogs can predict a rainstorm. When you see that behavior, you know something's coming on. So anyway, let's talk about the loud noising. So what we can do, well, first of all, let's go one thing, because Keith is on and he asked, what can we do? So besides the quiet room and the TV and music playing, all the windows closed, et cetera. If you have a dog that really freaks out, speak to your veterinarian. You can try things as mild as Benadryl, about 20, a milligram per pound, 25-pound dog, one adult Benadryl is 25 milligrams. If it's a 50-pound dog, give 2. 75, give 3. That can do it. You could also look for something more natural, any of the calming formulas. My Chill might help, which is valerian, passion flower, chamomile, L-tryptophan, melatonin. All these things can help naturally. If your dog really freaks out, hey, doc, call your vet. I need some of that Xanax. I need some of that Expromazine. I need some of that Trazodone. You may need something that is heavier duty, and that's okay. But of course, my goal would be to plan ahead for next year already. So yes, if you need medication, Keith, come and call me. We'll get you some Trazodone. So, and I always say when it comes to things like Trazodone and Xanax, if it doesn't work for your dog, but your dog is driving you crazy because the fear, you could take it. It'll relax you at least, so you won't have to worry so much about your dog. Okay, but anyway, so here's what the best thing I think is, and it is very challenging at first because it takes a while. That's why I said if you do this starting tomorrow, it's not going to work. You don't have enough time. The goal here is to take, when we train dogs, how we train them, positive reinforcement. And a lot of times we want to desensitize them to that is upsetting and not only desensitize them, which is just, you can stop right there, but better yet, counter conditioning them to really want to like it. Instead of having them fear loud sounds, have them, let's look forward to the loud sounds in a good way, not in a bad way. They come to you for hugs and kisses, but in a good way, they come to you for their treat. How do we do it? So you can download now. I mean, years ago, I used to tell people to tell you how long I've been practicing to get a cassette tape of a sound effects tape, and it had the beeping of the big buses or construction trucks when they're making all this noise, the backup the trash trucks, it would have thunder and lightning, it would have fireworks, sonic booms, all that stuff. Okay, and so what you do then is you start playing it very little. Same thing now, but you don't have to get a tape. These sound effects, right online, download them, and you can pick it up. So you get 4th of July fireworks or just fireworks. And you start, you put them in a room with you there, and you play it so low, you can't hear it. But remember, their ears are very sensitive. They can pick up tones that we don't hear, okay? So when it's a very low decibel, they can pick it up, and they call them over. Sir, sounds or noises, come whatever name you want to give it, okay? And they come here, that's a good boy, good girl, and give a treat. Okay. And you do this a couple of times at that level. Then and do this like 2, 3, 4 times a week. Then you go, you increase the volume a little bit more. Still, now it's barely, you can barely hear it, but they can hear it. Oh my God, sounds, or what, a blast, whatever you want to call it. And you come over and give a treat. So it's so low, it doesn't bother them, but they do hear it. So now what's going to happen is when they hear this sound, they're going to run to you and they're going to get a treat, but calmly. They're nice. Good boy. And that's it. So what happens is you increase the volume every training period or every other training period, increase the volume a little more until you get to the point. This could take a month. It could take 2 months where it is blasting and they're coming to you tail wagging because they're going to get their treat. So it's a very different trend. They're looking at it as a good thing instead of a bad thing. Instead of fear, you're going to sense joy. Because the association has totally changed from something that is, as I said, a fearful stimulus to something that is soothing, something they like, and they're going to associate it with something positive because they're going to get their treat. They're going to get to be with you in a good way. And so no longer are they going to be running for cover. They're going to be sitting at your feet, coming up on the couch, just with a head on your lap, and just they're going to be, they're not going to have that anxiety. You won't need the trazodone. You won't need the Xanax, the ace bromazine, the chill, the Benadryl, nothing, because to them, it's going to be a positive instead of a negative type of reaction. So if you do it and you do it slow, it works really, really well. Okay, let's see. So tomorrow, I have a surgery coming up, and it's fortunately, we don't have to do it very often. I've had a couple of weird surgeries coming up. I had to, if you remember, I took a mass off of a cat's thigh, and it was a vaccine-induced sarcoma, which is why, again, we only vaccinate cats in a thigh. Because if they get this feline vaccine-induced sarcoma, we can save their lives by amputating a limb. So this is one that I thought, I was kidding myself, of course, but I thought I could get it, if not almost. I did a pretty dramatic surgery. I figured better this and have to go back in again than amputating a leg right off the bat. So sure enough, it went great. Came back just the other day with a little teeny nodule, this big. So, I mean, and I can get my hand under it. So I said, you know what? Let's not wait. Let's get it off right away. And took it off. Remains to be seen. I cut pretty deep. I'm hoping that if you can get under it, and since this was in a thigh, I had to go through the muscle. I was able to suture. I cut a piece of muscle with it, suture the muscle back together. The cat should do fine. And speaking of cats, as I told you, I have this right here. So what happened was, as I was saying hello to this cat, a sweet, sweet cat, all of a sudden the cage door is open. I'm petting it and it tried to make a beeline. I had two dogs sitting in the treatment room floor with my techs. And here this cat was going to jump out of the cage. And where was it going to go other than maybe in a dog's mouth? So I quickly, as it's coming, I slammed the door shut. And on the way, the prong that goes into the latch on the side of the cage, I had to close it, hit me literally. So the cage here, right, ends about here. But this thing was sticking out to here and I didn't realize it. And that thing clunked me right in the head, opened up a gash. They all thought I should go get stitches. I didn't want to get, first of all, I couldn't leave the practice. Come on, I had 10 people waiting to see me. So we made a little butterfly bandage and it actually looks pretty good now. So it'll, you know, it's another battle scar. Like I have plenty already from years and years. My thumb now, as you can see, is just starting to heal. Mark, can you see that? Right there, my thumb. So that was last week. I talked about this. 2 bites, same day. Both from French Bulldogs, but different Frenchies at different times of the day. So they healed pretty good. I heal really fast. I think, you know, they knew when I was going to become a veterinarian when I was probably in my mom's womb. I was already made to heal very quickly, and I heal really quickly. I rarely scar. So, and most people can't even see my scar on my face here from the dog bite when I was 5 years old. And so anyway, I'm a lucky guy. So anyway, so that's the solution for 4th of July is that. So anyway, I do have 2 surgeries coming up. Anal glands. Anal glands are a problem. I'm sure all of you have dogs that have had their anal glands squeezed, but this dog needs it like every week. It's getting very frustrated for the owners. And there's a solution, and that is to remove the anal glands. The surgery in the hands of someone who knows what they're doing and how they're doing it is fairly routine. But I got to tell you, if your veterinarian does not do or has not done a number of these, have it done by a surgeon, because the anal recti, the recti muscles that circle the anal gland are sitting right under the anal glands. If you cut too deep, removing that anal gland, and you cut those muscles, then you have an anus that cannot open and close. And guess what happens? You can imagine what happens. Poop is falling out whenever it gets there. There's no way the dog can control it. So it's a delicate, it's like a thyroid surgery. When I do thyroidectomies, when I have thyroid cancer patients, you know, it's really not that difficult, but you have to know what you're doing. And it's very delicate because the thyroid gland is sitting usually right on top of a vagal nerve, right on top of the jugular vein. And I have pictures when I'm removing a thyroid of showing the vein right there. And it's you know, it's a pretty, you know, that it's a jugular, it's a big vein. And it's sitting right there. In fact, if you hold your neck, you can see it pop up. That's exactly sitting right under a thyroid gland. So again, as long as you have, if your vet has experience doing it, then go, by all means, go for it. If not, have it referred. But it is a good surgery. And so that's a good one. And then the next one I'm doing is called a colopexy. I think I'm doing this one tomorrow. So this dog is a French bulldog. It happens a lot of times in Frenchies. Pugs, for some reason, these short-faced dogs. And what happens is their anal tissue, their colon, actually, it's called a rectal prolapse, where the inside of the colon, it's almost like they're pushing so hard to poop that the tissue from within the colon actually pops out and it protrudes out. It's ugly. Usually you can stuff it back in with your finger, a glove finger, of course. And you do what's called a purse string suture. You put around it where you close the gap. So it's only small enough for soft stools to come through. Leave it in for 3 weeks. Sometimes you check it every week. And when everything stayed in place for that long, you can remove the suture. Hopefully you'll be good. I've had it usually sometimes I have to do it twice. Well, I've already done three times on this dog. And I said, if it happens again, then we're gonna have to do the colopexy. So now it's a surgery. We have to go in. We have to literally pull the colon proximally forward until it reduces the prolapsed tissue, and then we tack the actual colon to the body wall. So now it can't push it out. And it's, again, not a fun procedure, but it's very effective. So that's one on my, I think one of my things I'm doing tomorrow. All right, more and more waving. Yes, yes, yes. Mac Toomey, hello, guys. Well, oh, I'm fine, Christina. Just, you know, it would look, apparently looked worse than it felt because my texts are all saying, oh, you probably have to go get stitches. No, it's okay. I'm good. All right. I think I waved to everybody. All right. So as far as 4th of July, I hope your dogs either do well already as mine do, or you're prepared to get some medication if you need it. Try to do it, but certainly the quiet room, TV on, music on, whatever the case may be, windows closed, and good food, good treats, and try to distract them. What you don't want to do, and I hate to sound mean, what you don't want to do is coddle them too much, because that is just going to reinforce the behavior. You're better off just letting them be by their side, make them as comfortable as you can. If you have to, do it. And also, if you are, like many, going to have that family 4th of July barbecue, as many of us do, again, make sure fatty foods, raw onions, corn on the cob. Stay away from corn cobs. Okay. That is really, really potentially dangerous. Speaking about intestinal surgery, there's one that's almost a gimme. If that dog, I don't care how big a dog, swallows that corn cob in that piece, quarter, or half, or whatever you cut, however you cut your corn on the cob, that is going to be a potential disaster. I can't tell you over my 40 plus years of doing this how many corn cob surgeries have had to done. A lot. Unfortunately, too many. So, and there's really no way around it. There's no way that cob is getting through the ileocecal-colo junction. And oftentimes it even gets stuck way before that. So be really careful. And again, they love the meat. So make sure that you don't, if you're going to give them a little food from the barbecue, make sure it's lean, not that fatty. And if you're going to do steaks, keep the bones away. No steak bones. In general, they're too hard. They're going to get the marrow out. Marrow is too fatty. Avocado, you're going to make it in a dip. Okay. If you're going to make it a good guacamole dip, again, avocado, a little bit is fine. Remember the food Avoderm, but too much is going to cause pancreatitis. Things that are really fatty are potentially dangerous. And of course, if you have a big dog that loves and jumps up on a counter, if you're not watching them, they'll jump up on the grill. And then you got a burnt nose, burnt feet, whatever it is. You just watch them. Keep and again, what you're throwing away, make sure it's way out of reach for a dog, because your garbage, right, is their dinner. They love it. That's their feast. So you got to be really careful again. Okay. So, correct. Yeah. Oh, if it's cooked steak or chicken and lean, you've cut the fat off, Keith, absolutely fine. No skin, chicken skin. But again, sometimes if there's seasoning, a lot of times before you put the steak, you got the Lowry's, you got the whatever you're seasoning it with, that may be too much for them. So if you want to, if you're anticipating giving your dog some of your hamburger, make sure it's pure meat on the grill. Not highly seasoned. And okay. And so for all of you, have a great week. Have a wonderful 4th of July. Keep your dogs safe. And of course, your cats. For some reason, I don't know why cats don't seem to bother. And anyway, maybe because they're indoor only, they don't even know what the sound is. And they don't come to you for cuddling anyway. So, other than that, we will see you here next Sunday. Same bat time, same bat channel here on Pet Life Radio, here on Instagram. Thanks for joining me. And during the week, by the way, if you have any questions, you don't have to wait till Sunday. You can always get a hold of me, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. You can get me on here on Instagram, just Werbs_DBM. Tell your friends to start following me on Instagram, only because that way, hopefully, I can help them with their pets as well. And I always say I have a number of my good friends that are way more Instagram savvy than I am. And they collaborate with me. They mention me. Michael Hearn, for example, is a gem. He's been so helpful. Casey Montoya, all these people that I love, that sort of share their wealth, if you will, with me. So have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next week. And stay safe.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.